All right, I think we can come together and just agree on one simple thing here today. If there's Democrats listening, or Republicans, or centrists, or leftists, or liberals, or whatever, I think we can agree that let's not name crap after politicians while they're still alive. There's this push by the Phoenix City Council to name a bus station after Greg Stanton. So Congressman Greg Stanton, he's been in politics forever. Let me look him up. I'm going to pull him up on Google. But anyway, they're debating over this light rail stop, and they want to name it after Greg Stanton. And the headline in the Arizona Republic is, "It's under scrutiny." You know, just don't name things after these government goobers until they've proven that they're actually worthy of it. And this guy, how old is he? Let's look him up. Greg Stanton. I'm Googling that. Oh, this is great. You know, the first thing that comes up on Google when I search this is Greg Stanton standing there tall like a statue, you know, on a rooftop with Phoenix in the backdrop, and he looks so stern and so in control. And I look at it, it says governing magazine. I got to click on this. I didn't even know that was a thing. So we have a magazine. Let's visit the website. governing.com for the people making government work. Oh man, is that nauseating or what? I wonder who puts out this publication. There's actually a magazine called governing.com that celebrates these politicians. Anyway, okay. Let's I don't know the guy. I don't even think I've ever met the guy. He's probably just he could never come on this show. We can get congressmen and women, right? But not Greg Stanton, because he's in governing.com. Anyway, let's see. He took office. He became a congressman in January 3rd of 2019. Before that, he was, wasn't he? I remember this guy. He was the mayor of Phoenix for 2012 to 2018. He was a member of the, give me a break. Go get a real job already. He was a member of the Phoenix City Council from 2000 to 2009. How old is this guy? Let's see. He was born, hang on. I'm going to get to it. He's born in 1970. So he's 54. So he's been there. So 44, 30. He's been in politics since his early 30s. I mean, come on, give me a break. Anyway, he's 54 years old. Greg Stanton. You know what? I do remember this guy. So one time I was, when I was on the city council in Flagstaff, and yes, no stops are named after me, and I wouldn't want them to be. When I was on the city council, I went down to one of those awful League of City convention things down in Phoenix. Every city belongs to the Arizona League of Cities. You pay dues through your taxes. And I remember there was some guy coming in to be the speaker. So this would have been about 2014-ish, 2012. When was he mayor? Sorry, I keep looking back. Yeah, he was mayor from 2012 to 2018, so that makes sense. And all these security people came in. It was a big deal. He had this security detail as the mayor of Phoenix, you know, coming in. When this place was all government bureaucrats and elected people, and I remember him coming in, and you could just smell the ego on this guy. I remember this, you know, first impressions. And it was Greg Stanton's just enormous security detail for this guy, Mr. Statue. Anyway, let me get back to the present here. There's this push by the Phoenix City Council to actually name a stop on the metro there, the light rail or whatever they call that thing down there, because it's one of his babies, you know, one of these government things that just keep sucking money. So they want to name it after him. Don't do that. Let's just name things after politicians. Let's never name things after politicians again. Or, you know, I don't want, especially when they're alive, I don't want a Trump Boulevard. I don't want a Biden Lane. I don't want a Stanton Stop. Give me a break. These people and their egos. All right. Love to hear from you. I hope you all doing good. I hope you all are having a great day. Another like monsoon, like afternoon. It's been weird. We've been getting these monsoon buildups and then rain showers scattered around, which is highly, highly unusual, for May. We will take it though, because hopefully that extends us to, you know, the monsoon season or gets us to the monsoon season instead of the fire season. So this is good news right now, and I'm enjoying this awesome weather. All right. First sponsor today is my good friends at the Blind Brothers. If you need new blind shutters or shades, you want to block out the statue-like politicians, then call the Blind Brothers. They've got great specials every month. This is where Angela and I went to get all new blinds for our home in Flagstaff. They did an awesome job. They laid out all our options. They went over everything. They measured everything. Then they came back. And they took out the old, really, really old blinds and got us these awesome new blinds that we've got in Flagstaff. Call them up. You need new blinds. You need new shutters. You need new shades. Call the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com. Okay, I got a bunch of stuff I want to cruise through here today. Sorry to go off on my rant there. I don't like the politician's ego gets to me more and more as the years go by. And a lot of these people just, they seem like sociopaths. I mean, you don't need a stop named after you. I don't know if he's behind it. He just seems like a big ego guy. But I get sick of these politicians and being the center of the universe for us. It's absolutely nauseating. Okay, so I got a bunch of stuff here. This one's interesting, more on a national level. I love the headline. I love how they can twist things, these news organizations. And the headline on CNBC is deflation. Deflation. Here, let me get to it. Small screen's down here. Sorry. Here's the deflation breakdown for April 2024 in one chart. So I've seen this in multiple places. Supposedly like five items in the grocery store went down month over month. You know, inflation's still a problem. And the wholesale price, producer price index came out this week. And, you know, that was like double what they thought it was going to be as far as an increase. So inflation, you know, it's a huge problem. These media outlets and these politicians can't trick you who's going out and buying groceries. And you're like, I remember when this cost half as much like 4 years ago, right? How many items are you buying at the store? And they're like, they're literally 20, 30, 40, 50, 100% more than they were, just, you know, like, let's go back to all the way back to 2019. So I guess though, a few items have gone down at the grocery store month over month. So the headline on CNBC is, here's the deflation breakdown for April 2024 in one chart, as if we're in a deflationary spiral all of a sudden. Like 1929 or 1930. Anyway, to fast forward here, to let me go through this article. So at home items, year over year, these items fell. Eggs went down 9%. Yeah, but how much did they go up? 40% over? I don't know what the number is, but it's gone up a lot. Ham went down 3.4%. Cheese went down 3.3%. So anyway, they got all these items that went down a few percentage points. The biggest decline was apples, by the way, went down 12.7%. I wonder how much they went up, though. So yeah, some of these items went down, but you know they've gone up especially over the course of Biden and Bidenomics. So you're not tricking anyone. I don't think we're going to continue to see prices decline and you're going to get back to 2019 level. How is that even possible with the way wages have gone up, minimum wage, the amount of money they've pumped into the system? You think your plumber's going to charge less later? No, I don't think so, because the wage costs, the insurance costs, everything has gone up for them. So this is total BS. You know, yeah, you might find a couple items that went down. Sorry, it wasn't month over month, year over year. But they're not going to be lower than they were when this all started and when they started pumping all this money into the system. Another one here on the economic side, Walmart is, cranking it, I guess. They're doing very, very well. And, they've got a whole new class of people coming in there that are actually buying stuff. And I would classify them. I mean, the article did it in a different way, but I would classify it as people that were formerly wealthy or upper middle class have left from some other stores, and they're actually now going down to what it's called. And Zero Hedge sums it up. They call it a trade down. Consumers are trading down to lower cost outlets like Walmart to try to make ends meet. These people formerly were buying stuff higher end, maybe going to the health food store, things like that. And Walmart's cranking it. Walmart is doing very well as far as their quarterly reports or the annual reports or whatever. So that one's pretty interesting. Another one here on the economic side, Dow 40,000, the Dow Jones Industrials, broke 40,000 earlier today, record high. I think it's the first time it's cranked over 40, right? That's what these headlines are saying. We've been watching the stock market. Dow closes lower Thursday after briefly topping 40,000 for the first time. You pump all this money in, you print all this money, you make all this money available, and it's going to go into something. And it certainly has gone into stocks. It's gone into real estate, even things like gold and silver. Gold actually went down, but silver is just a few cents away from breaking the $30 range. It's been there before, but that's kind of a key threshold. Will it keep going up? I don't know. I like to own a little bit of silver, as you know. So everything is inflating and pumping up, except for the five items they picked at the grocery store that actually went down after going up probably 40%. Let's see. Also on the economy. No, that's it. That's all I got in the economy. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Good time to mention Desert Gold Exchange. I like to own physical gold and silver. Angela and I have been doing this for many, many years. And I ordered from my good friends at Desert Gold Exchange, an Arizona-based company. And Justin and his family-run company, they keep their overhead low. They pass the savings on to you. Why don't you find out about gold and silver? Why don't you talk with Justin? Or maybe you're already in this like I have been for many decades, and you're looking for somebody that's going to have the lowest commissions and fees out there. That's Desert Gold Exchange. They guarantee the lowest commission that you're going to find. So call them, put them to the test, 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343, or go to desertgoldexchange.com. All right, we've been watching this kind of saga with the LD7 Senate race when it comes to trying to get someone off the ballot, and it's Representative David Cook. Senator Rogers has been challenging his signatures, and it just hasn't worked. And I told you, I predicted this last week, that it wasn't going to go anywhere because the Arizona Supreme Court is not going to say, hey, we're not letting this person on the ballot because of these items. The allegations were, and lower court turned it down. So Senator Rogers brought it up, and they got it up to the Arizona Supreme Court to make a decision on whether or not Representative David Cook should be on the ballot for the LD7 Senate seat for the Republican primary. There was at least one circulator who's getting signatures who they went to court, and they were able to throw out quite a few. I think the number I saw was like 50% of them for this particular circulator. You know, these people who go out and get signatures for you, and they're really responsible for it. They actually sign the back that these are legit signatures when they're collecting. So the allegations that were made were that all the signatures that this guy collected should be thrown out, and the lower court disagreed, and then the Arizona Supreme Court stepped in and quickly decided on this, that David Cook, Representative Cook, will be on the ballot for LD7 Senate seat. So this sets up Senator Wendy Rogers, an incumbent, Representative David Cook, an incumbent, who is bumping up. You know, he's termed out. This is what happens. These people get termed out, and then they got to go, you know, run for something else. And then oftentimes they, go up against one of their, I guess, seatmates, shall we say. And so that sets that up for the upcoming primary here, which is rapidly approaching. I'll try to get, Senator Rogers comes on the program all the time, has done a wonderful job of keeping us up to date. I've had Representative Cook on one time. We will reach out to get both them on to give their, campaign spiel and sell themselves to you as to why either one of them should be your state senator in LD7. But anyway, so it's going to be Cook versus Senator Rogers. For sure coming up. There's nowhere else you can go with this one. Let's see here. I don't know why parents, this one's a national one. I'm on Fox News here. I don't know why parents, I believe this is in Maryland, keep in school districts like this, keep their kids in these schools. Except I could say, it could be that some states are hard to get your school. Like, we're lucky here in Arizona. We've got freedom of school choice in this state where you can take your kid, even if you're in Flagstaff, for example, you could take your kid from one public school to a different one and you know, drive them over. They don't do buses too much in the city of Flag anymore. They can't figure that one out anymore at FUSD. But you could take your kid out and homeschool them. You could use the ESA, Empowerment Scholarship Account, or tax credits and send your kid to a private school, utilizing taxpayer funds. I mean, there's a ton of options in Arizona. So when I hear of other states, and I don't know what the case is in Maryland, but I know some states are very hard to homeschool your kids. And it's hard because you're like, hey, you should just move. And that's really hard because people have their family and, you know, they want to stay in these states. But I don't know how you stay in some of these blue left wing states, especially in Maryland. Maryland's largest school district does not have to allow parents to opt their K through five children out of classes and books that discuss LGBTQ topics like sexuality and gender, at least for now, a federal appeals court ruled on Wednesday. So parents are upset because it's K through five. So kindergarten, what are you, four or five years old? Up to, you know, 10-year-olds are being thrown this stuff down their throat, the LGBT stuff and all these books and the drag stuff and you name it. They are so young and they don't need to have this stuff. And the parents should be able to say, you aren't teaching my kids this crap. And quite frankly, if you're in a school that says, no, we will teach your kids that, to heck with you, you got to leave. You got to get your kids out of that. But anyway, a 2-1 ruling by the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed a lower court decision denying a preliminary injunction on the basis that the parents had not shown how the policy initiated by the Montgomery County Public Schools Board would violate their children's First Amendment right to free exercise of religion. So they're going for the religious exemption there. But they shouldn't even have to go for that. They should just be able to say, I don't want my kids to learn this stuff. Don't do it. They're my kids. They're not your kids. So the clear indication there, and this is true in many school districts, this is true even in Arizona. I've seen these school board members. They think they own your kids. They think that they know what's best for your kids. They may not even have kids themselves. They may not have any experience, but they are so down the road of this, of pushing, especially the trans stuff. I've seen it at FUSD. Remember, I shared clips with you just a couple weeks ago of the board member, I'm sorry, not board members, staff members talking about this stuff and saying, yeah, we got to get rid of the, you know, the use of the words, boy and girl. We got to get, you know, we've got to get all the kids together for the sex ed class, you know, for the 10-year-olds. So this stuff is everywhere. It's prevalent everywhere throughout the country. These universities have pumped out these, educators who are indoctrinated in diversity, equity, and inclusion. Of course, they're going to bring that to their education and to the education of your kids. So anyway, yeah, basically they're saying, hey, you don't have a right to opt out of this stuff for kindergarten through fifth grade. Crazy stuff. So the only solution is vote with your feet, vote with your wallet, get your kids out of these school districts as soon as possible, especially when you see stuff like this. Fortunately, we're not in Maryland, and it is easy to get your kids out of these schools, you know, and get them to something else that's more appropriate for their age and more appropriate to, you know, your beliefs and how you want your kids raised. All right, you know, speaking of kids, my kids were on lockdown yesterday. They're in the east side of Flagstaff, at least the elementary school kids. I guess there's some whack job in Bushmaster Park. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that one. Bushmaster Park does not have the best reputation in Flagstaff as far as safety issues and stuff happening in that park. And I guess somebody went, and the allegation is that there was a suspect that was firing gunshots Wednesday morning in Bushmaster Park. And so schools around the area, of course, go on lockdown. And there was concerns about what happened to this guy because they couldn't find a guy, and they were trying to find a guy for a while. There was nobody injured or anything as far as I can see. And I guess there was a guy wandering around there, and he was threatening to quote unquote shoot the park up. So they eventually found this guy and took him into custody. So yeah, this is Flagstaff. What is Flagstaff? 75,000 people or so, 70. I don't even know what the population is anymore. So Flagstaff area, I think, is around 100,000. And you're seeing this stuff more and more. I was not far from that recently, doing a project near the public street. And I had, there was a massive arrest right in front of us by the little convenience store there, right near that park. It's pretty close. So it's just, you're seeing people. And I think we were talking about it on the program just the other day. Maybe it was with Mark Howitt and Glenn Least. You're seeing more and more people just kind of wandering around. I saw somebody right on Route 66 there. They basically have set up shop. I don't know if they're still there. You all might know what I'm talking about. But they basically have a car there, and they've set up like a tent, their own little individual tent city in a parking lot. And this is the kind of stuff that you're seeing more of. When that happens, and I know people are down and out and stuff, but when you see more and more of this happening, more people, you know, the corners lined up with people. I see tents right along the freeway now in rural northern Arizona. I see people living under the overpasses and litter all over the place. That's continuing to explode in rural Arizona, rural America, and with it comes issues like this. And I think you can just expect to see more and more, unless you're going to move out to the sticks and surround yourself with 5,000 acres, but not everybody can do that. I think you're going to see more and more of this, even though like 10 items at the grocery store have come down in price year over year. You know, and the assumption here is the economy is so much better. No, it's not, because just drive and look under the underpasses around your communities. All right. Love to hear from you. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. That's TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. It's a good time to take the family on to Namarco's Pizza, voted best pizza and wings in Flagstaff. Love their pizza. Love their craft beers, by the way. Love their wings. They've got buffalo bread, which is awesome. Great salads as well. Namarco's Pizza, like I said, 3 locations for dine-in, but you can also pick one up. Have a good time, especially coming up here this weekend. Pick up a pizza, and you can order that easily. I do it all the time, namarcospizza.com. I also take advantage of the lunch specials Monday through Friday from 11 to 2. Usually get out of there for just over $10, where you're getting a slice, a salad, and a drink, or 2 slices and a drink. So stop on by Namarco's Pizza and get some great food and enjoy some time with the family. All right, more to come. Hang tight. Back in a minute. Welcome back. Jeff Horvitz here from Camp Verde today. There is action going on down at the Arizona legislature. Not a lot. They're basically meeting 1 or 2 days a week. I think they met extra this week. And you may say, oh, why are they only meeting that? Well, the session really should be over at this point, but there are still bills that they're working on. There's the border security or secure border act, whatever they're calling this thing, which is stalled down there. I think we talked with Senator Wendy Rogers on this one. Was it last week? And they met this week to try to push it through. There's one hold that no Democrats are going to vote for this thing. I don't even know if it's going to fly, you know, muster wise, constitutionally, if it's going to go through the court process. I really don't care. I'd still like them to pass it and send a message to the feds that, hey, we're going to take action as a state on this porous border you've let happen, and you're just letting illegals flood into this country, Biden administration. So I don't mind it, even if it's going to go through the – Texas is doing it right now, the legal process, and this bill is pretty much based on the Texas bill, which allows state law enforcement to enforce immigration issues, among a slew of other – I mean, this is like a 10-plus page bill, I believe, when I looked at it last week. It stalled this week, though – because of one Republican. Like I said, no Democrats will support this. It won't even go to Hobbs' desk. The Republicans are trying to get it to the voters to vote on this November. So they need every single Republican, because they only have one seat majorities in both the House and the Senate. The senator who is holding this up at this point from what I am hearing, is Senator Ken Bennett, a name, well, he represents probably a lot of you out there in LD1, a lot of you who are listening, a name that's been in politics in Arizona for a long time. He was in the legislature. He was Senate president at one time many years ago, and then he became Secretary of State and served for two terms. Then he ran for governor in 2014. He was in the Republican primary against Ducey and others. And then he ran for Congress, I think. Anyway, last year he got into the Senate for LD1. Very close. This was one of the closest races in Arizona. He is the holdup on this right now. He's been a holdup on a few other things this time too. He seems, I actually supported him in 2014 in that gubernatorial primary. I had kind of a little bad feeling about Ducey initially. So I supported Bennett, and then Ducey got in there and actually surprised me, and it was a really good governor for that first term. Then the second term came in COVID, and he turned out to be an awful governor. God, this guy was a train wreck. And I was like, yep, my first instinct was right. This guy under pressure was a wet noodle. But anyway, so just to kind of give you the history, I supported Bennett back then, but something's different now. I've noticed, and maybe you in LD1, maybe you've got a feeling like that too. I don't know. Email me if you think different, if you're having a different experience. He's not my representative. Senator Rogers is mine. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. But he's got a primary challenge. The guy he lost to, I think, is Zimmerman, something like that, in the Republican primary in 2022, is challenging him. But so is Mark Fincham. So you got a three-way race here, which I don't know how that lands for an incumbent. Bennett may take it just by that fact alone, but I expect a very vibrant LD1 Senate primary here coming up. And hey, you know what? You're welcome to come on. Last time I had Bennett invited, Senator Bennett, it was like a year and a half ago, and he didn't call in, and I sent him some follow-up, and he was scheduled. I sent him some follow-up messages. And he just didn't respond. So I don't know what happened. So, probably time to go do something in the private sector would be my my instinct is telling me that, just like Stanton, when they start trying to name bus stops after you or something, it's time to go do something else and check yourself, a little bit and bring down the ego just a tiny bit and go join the regular folk for a little bit and get back on track. So anyway, there's that bill, but it's just stalled right now. And it shouldn't be, but it is. There's a bill that's not stalled that actually made it through yesterday. What's being called two bipartisan bills when it comes to housing, HB 2720 and HB 2721. And I'm on Arizona Daily Independent.com. Pretty good publication there. I mean, they do a decent job. Arizona Daily Independent.com. Let's see. HB 2720, HB 2721, both related to housing. Both are sponsored by, I believe it's sponsored by a Democrat, but they have bipartisan support, and not like this stupid bipartisan support that the corporate media shuffles out when one person, one person from the other party, like the abortion repeal here that happened a couple weeks ago, where two Republicans crossed over and all the other Republicans didn't. And then they call that bipartisan. Well, not really. I mean, it has to have some real numbers for me to consider it actually bipartisan. Well, this does. And what it is, two bills, HB 20, I hope I have the right order here. Doesn't really matter. One of them is to allow the casitas, the little, what are they called? Accessory dwelling. I think the cities call them ADUs, accessory dwelling units. Casitas, mother-in-law quarters. It's a second home on your single-family residential lot, essentially, is what it is. And as you know, we've got a housing issue in Arizona. And I've gone over it. How many times? What, 8 years of going over this? It's caused by the government. So I told you this would be the major issue this political crazy season, which is going to be, we got to fix housing. We got to fix housing. The government caused the housing problem. The government caused it through artificial low interest rates, through land restrictions, through zoning restrictions. I mean, you name it. This is government induced. Now, granted, there are places that are more expensive because of certain desirability. Flagstaff has typically been one of the more expensive places in the state, no matter if we're in a depression or an expansionary period or somewhere in between. It's just, it goes down less and it's worth more. Same thing with Sedona. I mean, that's desirability factors. That's market factors. That makes sense. The dirt is worth more in certain spots for many reasons. You can go out in the middle of the desert somewhere and find a cheap piece of land, but there's no water, there's no trees, there's no, you know what I'm saying? So there's that factor. But most of the reason why housing is so expensive throughout the United States is because of government intervention and, quite frankly, government stupidity over a very long time. So the politicians are trying to fix this. Now, this one ain't bad, because they're just trying to change the supply, because it is a supply issue. This won't fix the problem. This won't even come close to actually. It'll help some people, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with you putting a casita on your property. You know, I hope there's some setbacks and things like that, you know, so you're not, you know, hovering over your neighbor. Some people may not be. Some people may be like, hey, I moved into this neighborhood. I don't know if HOA restrictions will rule in this one. We're going to have to look into it more and see if it actually gets signed by Governor Hobbs, because it passed. Republicans and Democrats signed it. They've sent it to, transmitted it to Governor Hobbs for her signature, to allow and override any local building code restrictions that disallows putting a small house on a single family lot, a second small house, a second home right on that. So basically two units on one piece of property. And the big contention, one of the big contentious items with this was, does it have to be like a family member that lives in there? Does it have to be the owner that's, you know, family of the owner or something? And they did, from what I'm reading, strip that out. Because of course the concern is, among some people, you're going to turn these into VRBOs or vacation rentals. Okay, well, maybe, but there's only so many vacation rentals this market can take. And I think it's already well saturated. I think this vacation rental market is like, these people have bought these $400,000-$600,000 homes thinking they were going to actually make a killing, and some have. But I mean, I see them popping up in neighborhoods, and I'm like, who's going to rent that there? I'm sorry. It's just, it's not a vacation rental neighborhood. I rented one in Florence in Italy. I mean, this is an international issue, and it was in the ghetto. And I was like, we put a pretty bad review on that thing saying, this should not be a vacation rental. This should be long-term rental, because it's in the ghetto, and nobody wants to be in the ghetto for their vacation. I'm sorry. Oh, Jeff, you're being offensive. Shut up. Anyway. So they want to allow more homes. They want to, but the concern was there's going to be vacation rentals. Well, if there's more vacation rentals, that just means there's going to be less people staying at a lot of these, because there's too many. It's flooded the market. Anyway, I think it's a good bill, which means that Hobbs will probably veto it, because she just doesn't even look at stuff. I don't think she has the capacity at this point. She vetoes things, and then they come back a year later and they're the same thing, like the tamale bill, you know, which would lighten up restrictions on people producing food at home for commercial sale. And then she's basically signed the same thing the year later. It doesn't even make sense. They're saying we're 270,000 homes, according to Arizona Department of Housing. 270,000 homes must be built to meet the state's growing need. All right. I mean, I guess you're not going to get 260,000, 270,000 casitas. Since 2020, the median sales price in Arizona has doubled. It's the great doubling, you know, but hey, remember, I was just telling you about the Feds just put out that Biden's all excited because apples went down year over year. There's been some deflation in groceries, as long as you don't count the prior 4 years. But yeah, housing has inflated, doubled. It's the great doubling that we're in, and it ain't transitory. We're not going back down. You might see some individual items, but housing's really expensive, and I don't know. I'd hate to say that it's not going to come, that's going to, you know, never come back down. It probably will. This stuff tends to correct itself. And, you know, right now the labor market's really tight. You can't even find people. How you build 270,000 homes? You don't even have the contractors to do it, the labor force to do it. And then if things really slow down, we've set ourselves up for a whammy here. And I've been talking about this lately because I think it's something people have missed. We've set ourselves up with all kinds of minimum wages, minimum this and that, to do for labor. If the economy tanks, really tanks, and maybe prices go down even, and all of a sudden land's a little cheaper, materials are maybe cheaper, there's a workforce that can't work for a lower rate going forward. So how are you going to get some of these prices down when you've baked it into the cake already? You haven't let, you're not letting the market correct itself. You're not letting the market, the labor market correct itself. And like the example I gave the other day, I couldn't go to like Mark Howe and say, hey, Mark, you know, I know how to swing a hammer or lay some block or something. I'll do it for $10 an hour. Couldn't do it legally. Even though I am saying to Mark, hey, I'm fine with doing that. I'll work for cheap right now because the economy's horrible and all these people are looking for jobs. They have set us up for a really bad situation down the line. Mark my words. All right. Love to hear from you. What do you think about casitas in your backyard? If you have a single family home, you know, if your neighbor decided to put up another like maybe 500 square foot little house, tiny home or something to and then rent it out basically is what the intent here is, or the hope is that you're going to get more people, create more units for people. What do you think? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right. Hey, it's a good time to call Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. Don't forget to listen this Saturday. Market update from Glenn Least. We'll be hitting on a lot of great stuff, a lot of great information when it comes to investing. If you want to talk with Glenn one-on-one, just like you hear him on this show, why don't you call him? Talk about what your kind of time horizons are, what your goals are, where you want to be at retirement. He'll look at all of that, and you'll have a really good conversation with him. And somebody that I think shares a lot of the same values that, you know, I share and probably we all share, you know, many of you listening. 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. Or why don't you send Glenn an email, G-L-E-E-S-T, G-Least, at WTWealthManagement.com. I'm going to get out and enjoy what's left of a beautiful evening. Monsoon-like May weather. Weird, weird weather. And, I've got a little bit left. I'm actually saving. The kids have been mowing since they've been driving since they were like five with the mower and stuff. So I'm saving a little bit of work for them. They're heading down from Flagstaff. So looking forward to that. And Angela's birthday this weekend. Send her a birthday email. She's turning 39 and, it is her birthday. So just in case, who knows, tomorrow's weekly roundup, I might forget. But pre-happy birthday to my wonderful wife, Angela. We're going to have some fun, and it looks like beautiful weather for us to be down in the Verde Valley area. So Saturday is her birthday, by the way. And then Saturday, don't forget, we got Glenn Least, and he's doing a big market update Saturday morning on 97.1. And 107.9 in the Prescott area. So I hope you tune in for that. Tomorrow's a weekly roundup. Also, Mark Howitt in the 5 o'clock hour. He's always got really great stuff planned. So tune in for that as well. And don't forget, subscribe to the podcast. Look up Orbit. Subscribe. I appreciate everyone doing that. Have a great, safe night. See you back here tomorrow. Take care. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.